Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Under no circumstances do I allow alien shoes on my herringbone woodblock or my grade one axe monster.
Hello and welcome to another Series 5 episode of Keeping Up Appearances, the luxury podcast. This is the companion podcast for exploring the world of Hyacinth Bouquet in the hit BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. My name's Jonathan Vernon-Smith, and with me, with the royal warrant on both sides, is William Hanson.
Hello, Jonathan and I are here for one final series because, as you all know by now, we absolutely love Hyacinth Bouquet and her world.
In each episode of this luxury podcast, William and I take you through an episode of Keeping Up Appearances, delving deep into the world of the bouquets. And today is the third episode of the last series of the sitcom, Hyacinth is Alarmed. Now, can you just take us through the synopsis, please, William?
Yes, normally I do this as written in the Harold Snowd book, but he doesn't give a synopsis for this episode because he writes about it in great detail in an earlier chapter, but doesn't give a succinct synopsis. So full credit to imdb.com for this synopsis. It's Hyacinth and Richard's anniversary, and Hyacinth can't wait to see what Richard has bought for her as a surprise. But when Richard finds out that he's forgotten their anniversary, he scrambles to come up with a solution at the last minute. What a great episode.
This is one of my favourites.
And I believe it is one of the highest rated episodes of Keeping Up Appearances. And actually, one of the reasons why there isn't a synopsis in the Harold Snowd book is because, in his usual way, he sort of writes about it that actually this was sort of his idea as a plot. Mm-hmm. And he put it to Roy Clark when tensions were probably at their worst. Mm-hmm. And they managed to... Roy, close friend, listened to Haz and wrote this story based almost on what Harold Snowd had suggested.
The episode begins, of course, in bed at Wainey Elm, and Hyacinth wakes up in a very excitable mood, and it becomes apparent that it's a special day.
Yes.
We're not quite sure why it's a special day, but it's a special day.
And she's very coquettish.
She
it's sort of it's a different Hyacinth to what we normally see.
Mm.
It's a little bit flirty.
Richard, of course, is comatosed. He's still asleep. And Hyacinth is talking to him, discussing the fact that she's waiting for some kind of surprise. Mm. So we know it's a special day. Is it her birthday? Is it a wedding anniversary? Is it a special day? We know that it's obviously something important.
Yes. Now, are you a perky person in the morning?
I wouldn't say perky, but I'm perkier in the morning than I am late at night.
Ah, okay.
I can be quite, in my advancing years, I can be quite grumpy late at night.
Okay.
When I want to go to bed, I really don't want to talk to anyone.
No, I mean, we've talked about this before on this luxury podcast, but you have indeed fallen asleep on your floor when we've been round for dinner.
Did I? Oh, I did. Yes, that's right. I did fall asleep on the floor.
Yes.
Well, I'd had a few drinks.
That didn't help.
No.
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 But it was like, okay, I think time... And I say time to go, I think we were staying with you.
Well, it was time for you to go to bed.
Yes, clearly we got the hint.
Where did I fall asleep?
Was in it front
on the rug
fire.
In front of the fire?
Yeah.
Just leaving you and Mikey feeling awkward.
Yes. You were a touch Joan of Arc.
Well, that's what happens when you ply me with wine.
I don't think we ply. It's your house. You plied yourself.
You probably encourage me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do love, though, Hyacinth's doorway pose as she goes to go out the bedroom and she turns round and sort of holds the door frame in an incredibly coquettish mood.
A very good morning to you, she says.
No wonder Richard is slightly off kilter with what's going on.
He knows something's up when he wakes up and he says, "Are you smiling at me?" There are certain people that don't smile.
I think Hyacinth's quite smiley.
Yeah, but not first thing in the morning. Not in the way she is smiling.
No, it's a bit much.
No, it's freaking him out.
Yeah. They're then in the kitchen. And it's sort of, there's no indication as to what has happened, as you say. And indeed, no indication throughout this entire episode, which, again, however many times I have watched this, I suddenly went, oh, hang on. The focus is on what Richard is getting Hyacinth. At no point is there any discussion as to what Hyacinth is getting Richard.
Good point. Good point. What's the opposite of a chauvinist? Because Hyacinth is one.
Yes.
Isn't she?
She's going to do a nice breakfast.
Yes.
But come on. I mean, that's not a fair payoff for what Richard eventually gets Hyacinth.
We'll get to breakfast in a second, because at this stage she's just making tea.
She is, yes. And she bursts in as she sort of takes the tea tray through to the bedroom into the Indian love song with "When I'm Calling You," which she does a few times throughout the show.
When I'm calling you.
We cut to Onslow and Daisy. Daisy can see Daddy in the bedroom. The lights are out at this point. Onslow thinks he might be dead.
Yeah, and it sort of, before they realise it's Daddy, although I would say it's fairly obvious it's Daddy before this all starts, Daisy has quite a calm reaction to the fact that there is this sort of man in the bedroom. Mm. How would we react if there was a man in the bedroom?
Well, as you know, I'm tooled up.
You are.
I am. And I...
So burglars beware.
I'm a big believer in weaponry. And I make no bones about that. I believe that everyone should have a weapon in the bedroom, but ideally a weapon that you can excuse as something else.
Yes.
Because should you kill a burglar, and this is just a little bit of handy advice for anyone, any of our bucket heads listening, should you kill a burglar, that's absolutely fine, as long as you can justify why you killed them and what you killed them with.
So, if I shot them with a gun?
No.
No.
No. Because unless you have a shotgun license, and even then,
why do you have it in the bedroom?
So long to get your keys, go to the gun safe, get your ammunition, load the gun. It would take too long. So that's never going to wash. You've got to have something that is both deadly and yet plausible.
And so what do you have?
I have a very heavy metal bar from a kitchen unit.
And can I ask why that's in the bedroom? Because I know why it's in the bedroom for this purpose.
Because I'm thinking of changing the handles on my wardrobe. Now, I do realise, in admitting this on the podcast, I've probably just given the game away.
You've got to change it now.
Yes. There'll be another reason why I've got that big metal bar in my bedroom.
Yes. I am going to, post haste, after this, I'm going to have my, you've probably seen it, my Mary Poppins umbrella.
Right.
The I have two, but the original one, the sort of the parrot head is so heavy.
Oh, wow.
Like, to be fair, sometimes I actually don't take the umbrella out because it's very heavy.
So you've clubbed them to death with a Mary Poppins umbrella?
I don't know if I'd club them to death, but I'd knock them out.
Right. Yes, but if you're going to attack a burglar, and again, this is very useful advice, Bucketheads. Mm. If you're going to attack them seriously. Attack them to the death.
Why can't you just knock them out?
No.
And then phone
you've got
the police.
To mean it, William. Because if you half-heartedly kind of, you know, and I can almost imagine you with your Mary Poppins umbrella, you know, just swatting them over the head like a wasp, they'll grab that from you and they'll club you to death like a baby seal. So.
Wow.
So if you're going to do it, you've got to do it properly. Mean it.
All right.
Okay.
Do it with feeling.
Exactly.
Well, that's good take-home content for our bucket heads.
There we go. And I think that sets the scene perfectly for this episode, because I'm a big believer in not only self-defence, but high levels of security.
Good. Well, this is the episode for you. Luckily, Daisy and Onslow don't club Daddy to death.
No.
He's asleep in the corner. They just turn the light on.
That's right.
They potentially don't need to club Daddy to death because Onslow thinks he's dead anyway.
Exactly.
Go and wake him up.
Oh, Daisy, that's one hell of an assignment to this time of the morning. Especially if he is dead.
We cut to Hyacinth and Richard back in the kitchen. And I rather like this because Hyacinth is pouring two glasses of fresh orange juice, pure orange juice.
Yes.
Del Monte, if you're interested.
Oh.
And she is pouring it into cut glasses.
Executive.
This reminds me of my late grandmother.
Oh.
Because every morning, whenever she used to live in Torquay, and we would go down to visit her, my brother and I sometimes, and she would insist on doing full English. And she would serve not fresh orange juice, but grapefruit juice in cut glasses.
Lovely.
And I always thought, that isn't that luxury?
Height of sophistication.
Isn't it? I'm pleased you agree.
My late grandmother always did us a cooked breakfast as well.
Lovely.
Yes, so it must be a thing. I don't think I have ever had a cooked breakfast. I've done one myself, but no one else has ever cooked one for me.
Wow.
No.
Other
than if you take away hotels, but no one sort of in a private house capacity. Fried bread, Granny would always do. It was always delicious.
Yes,
yes, very old-fashioned now.
My grandmother had an eye-level grill, and she would grill the bacon in the eye-level grill whilst, you know, frying the eggs in the... And she'd quite often set fire to the cuffs of her luxury dressing gown. So while she was cooking, she'd be patting her arms out, patting the flames out while she was getting the bacon.
Like Happy Carmen Miranda.
Happy memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flammable granny.
Yeah. So Hyacinth is pouring out the orange juice in the cut glass, and she offers to cook Richard a full English.
And doesn't the breakfast table look smart?
Yeah.
With the double pink two-tone tablecloth.
Yeah.
Just everything. Hyacinth's breakfast tables normally do look very nice, but particularly nice on this occasion.
I love a breakfast.
Yes, you and do I, your Sunday morning.
I love making a fuss over breakfast.
Mm.
Sometimes I light the candelabra in the winter months. I like to eat
in the morning.
I eat my breakfast under candelabra light.
Oh.
I know. Just call me Liberace.
Well, or the Phantom of the Opera.
Richard can't understand why Hyacinth is in such a good mood.
No.
It's really freaking him out.
I can see why it would unnerve him.
Yes.
Just going back to an English breakfast, is there anything you don't like on an English breakfast?
Mushrooms. Okay. They're the work of the devil.
Yes. Disgusting. Tomato.
I love a tomato.
Mm. Black pudding.
Now, this is controversial.
Oh.
I do love a tomato, and I know it's common as muck, but I actually prefer a tin tomato to a fresh one.
From a tin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think the combination of cooked tin tomatoes with a full English is delicious.
No, you see, I don't like tomatoes.
Really?
So I'd have your mushrooms and you can have my tomato.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a deal.
Okay.
Two eggs or one?
Two, poached.
Poached?
What do you do?
Fried. Ooh. Well, dry fried. I don't put any oil in. Well, I give three spritzes of my avocado oil.
Avocado oil?
Oh, yeah. I live in Hertfordshire.
Yeah, you can tell. Yes, how lovely.
Yeah. So
is it organic?
Of course it is.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's from Spain. Spanish avocado oil. But yes, I do that. Two slices of toast, although if I'm on a health drive, just one.
That'll
and,
do it.
A teapot or black pudding. I do love black pudding.
I like black pudding.
Do you?
Have you ever tried white pudding?
Yes, in Scotland.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
But
I prefer black.
Okay.
The postman arrives.
Yes, not a moment too soon.
No, he saves us. And he hears Hyacinth, so he decides to hide behind the garage door, William, doesn't he?
He does. And this is one of the funnier postman hiding from the from Hyacinth moments. And we should say, and we've said it before, but in a couple of weeks' time, we're talking to David Jensen.
Yeah, we are. We're very excited.
Hopefully he doesn't hide from us.
No. Hyacinth goes out of the drive and comes back and, of course, sees the postman.
Mm.
And then she gets chatting to him. And it's at that moment that we realise for the first time that the big surprise, the big exciting moment for the day, is the fact that it's Hyacinth and Richard's wedding anniversary.
Yes, and sadly, though, the only piece of mail that the postman has for Hyacinth is a bill.
Yeah.
And not, as she wanted to receive, her husband's package.
No.
What? She wants a package from her husband. It's what she says. I'm quoting the line.
She does. She does. And she's convinced that there must be something wrong. Something's fallen down in the postal system, which is why his surprise has not arrived on that day.
No. And of course, it doesn't enter Hyacinth's mind that it could actually just be Richard forgetting.
No.
But again, it's Hyacinth's optimism.
Yes.
Of course it's our anniversary. Of course he's got me something lovely.
My husband's anniversary gift is lurking somewhere in your sorting houses. You can tell the Postmaster General.
I don't see him that often.
Did you hear more about this?
Back in Onslow and Daisy's, Daddy is lying on the sofa and Daisy is trying to settle him down. He's very disturbed.
Indeed, and what a lot of dialogue Daddy has in this episode.
He does, yes.
He hardly shuts up.
No, he goes on and on and on.
I'm not going back up there. That's my Daddy impression.
Gosh, it's like Daddy's in the room.
Yes.
Daddy thinks that his bedroom is haunted with a woman.
Yes.
We don't know who the woman is.
No.
But haunted with a woman. Rose, meanwhile, is very upset.
She feels a bit bitter, I think.
Yeah. You know old Cuddly Chops?
From the last episode.
Polish Cuddly Chops.
Yes.
They called him Cuddly Chops. By the way, you'll be delighted to know you suggested, I think it was last week,
yes,
that I taught my nephew to refer to his mother as Cuddly Chops.
Yes. That was by text. I suggested that.
Oh. Well, in that case, you know you suggested by text this yes week that I should get my nephew to learn Cuddly Chops. He's learnt it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, his mother is absolutely delighted that he's referring to her as Cuddly Chops, as you can imagine.
And also, you put it on your socials. We played a few episodes ago his LOLO
yes
impression.
You stupid woman. Except he says, you stupid women.
Yes, you've taught him the bouquet residence.
Yes.
Shall we hear it?
Well, go on.
Do you have it?
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, oh, just spring it on me. Why
sorry
don't you?
The bouquet residence, leader of the house, begins.
It's so cute.
He's only 4 and a half.
Did he do that in one take?
Yes, he did. That was the first take.
He's a natural.
Yeah.
He's a star.
I said to him, this is what you have to say. Repeat after me. And he did.
Nice.
Mm.
He's going to go far.
I think so.
Yes.
Where were we?
Mr. What's it? Cuddly Chops.
Cuddly Chops, yes. Mm. Cuddly Chops has gone back to Poland.
Who could see that coming?
Yes. He's gone back to Poland with a redhead, apparently.
Yes. Presumably his wife, because that's normally the pattern of Rose's men. The vicar is mentioned, our close personal friend Jeremy Gittins.
He's got to come round to remove the ghost.
For an exorcism.
Exorcism. The haunted woman in Daddy's bedroom has got to be removed.
Maybe this is a good time to talk about your ghosts.
What ghosts?
Your painting.
Oh.
You could have Jeremy Gittins round for an exorcism and we could actually make that happen.
Right. This is after Just Jack.
Yes, your decorator.
Incidentally, I mean, are we to mention that whilst last week, was it last week?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, Just Jack was doing my house and now I gather he's in yours.
Yeah. House. Yes, yeah, he is. I haven't seen his work yet because we've had to move out.
Now, that is the most William Hanson thing ever. I get a message from William this week to say that the upheaval of having the house decorated was so great that he's had to move to a luxury hotel in London.
We're quite enjoying the experience, though, to the point where I've actually said to Mikey, what can we have decorated next?
What, because you're enjoying living in the hotel?
Yes.
Well, you could be like Margaret Thatcher spent her last year, didn't she? Didn't she spend her last year in the Ritz?
Last 2 years.
In the Ritz.
And actually, I'll tell this story now on this podcast about Margaret Thatcher and the Ritz. This was told to me by someone who used to work at the Ritz. Have I told you this?
Yeah, because she was having building work done, wasn't she? Or the next door neighbour was.
No, the Barclay brothers just said, come and live in the Ritz.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought there was building work going on.
Well, maybe. She died in the Ritz.
Oh, all right. No need to bring us down.
No. But she would have dinner most nights, certainly for the first part of her life at the Ritz, when she was slightly more lucid. And
she did have dementia.
She did. She'd sit at table 9 in the corner of the restaurant. And when she was finished eating, and sadly, she would often dine alone, and she would walk through the restaurant. Of course, it's like murmur. You know, it was Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher.
And the Ritz restaurant we should go, has a lovely pianist at the entrance playing music over dinner. And she would look at the pianist, and they would do this routine almost every night, and he would start playing Putting on the Ritz, and she would sing one verse and one chorus of Putting on the Ritz to the assembled crowd, and they go, thank you, good night, and off she'd go.
Right.
And my friend witnessed this most nights.
Right.
I won't say the friend's name, but she was on your table at our wedding. Her.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I never.
And of course, this was just before everyone had camera phones.
Yeah.
Because if they had camera phones, that would absolutely be viral. But can you imagine sitting there having a lovely dinner
and the ladies not for turning suddenly appears at the piano performing Putting on the Ritz.
Isn't it a great story?
Yeah, it's wonderful. So yes. A bit like Margaret Thatcher, you've moved into a hotel while Just Jack redecorates your living room.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We're going for exactly the same colour.
I did too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. We toyed with shaded white, drop cloth, elephant's breath.
Mm. Clunch.
No, because they discontinued Clunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you had told us. So, yes, we've just gone for Ammonite again.
Oh.
But he's filling in the cracks and giving us a new lick everywhere.
Of course he is.
So that's nice.
Well, that's all marvellous. How did we get onto that?
Absolutely no. Oh, ghosts! You were going to tell us about your ghosts.
Oh, yes. So after Just Jack had redecorated my living room, and it was all freshly painted, beautiful, and as he left, obviously I still had to put all of my art back on the wall. Now, I don't have much art, but I do have two large canvas paintings. So I put one of them back on the original screws that were still sticking out of the wall. Mm. And it sat there, perfect. Went to bed, came down the next morning. That painting was neatly leaning up against the wall. It was no longer hanging on the wall. And there was a mark of oil paint on my nice, freshly painted wall.
And it was in a completely different zone. It wasn't like it just dropped straight down.
No.
It had dropped and slightly turned a corner.
It had turned a corner and was leaning neatly against the wall.
And you think that's a ghost?
Well, I'm not a believer in that kind of thing, but I cannot genuinely think of how that painting ended up leaning neatly against the wall. It's very bizarre.
Mm.
So it may well have been that the ghost of someone leant my painting up against the wall. Quite why they would have done that, I don't know.
And you had to repaint the wall.
I did have to repaint the wall myself.
After spending all that money on Just Jack.
All that money, yeah. But I thought, I can't get Just Jack back for a day to repaint just that section of the wall that I've ruined or the ghost has ruined.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah.
Well, there we go. We'll see if Jeremy's available for an exorcism.
Nothing else has moved since.
No.
So, I think we're okay. We got away with it.
Good.
Well, thank you for your work and for not damaging my walls. Too badly.
Back into Hyacinth's Hall, and she's on the telephone trying to get a senior postal official.
Yes.
And it's at this point, Richard, who is overhearing this conversation, learns that it is their anniversary. Yeah. And we see the look of horror and physical twisting on Richard's face.
Well, anyone that's ever forgotten something very important knows that feeling.
Mm.
What's the worst thing you've ever forgotten? I mean, I would imagine you're not someone that forgets things very
often.
I'm
not a forgetful person. I mean, I don't like it when I forget people's names.
Mm.
But that's sort of slightly different from forgetting a key event.
I forgot my own surgery.
Yes, you did.
I was due to have an executive mole removed, and it was all booked in at a very exclusive hospital, and I just forgot to turn up. And about 2 weeks later, I got a letter from the surgeon's secretary saying, you didn't turn up for your operation. And I, a bit like Richard, had that same terrible sense of realisation that I'd forgotten something very important.
Mm.
And grovelling doesn't even begin to describe what I had to do.
Did you get double charged?
Well, that was what I was worried about. So I wrote to the surgeon and apologised and explained, because what I'd done is, I think it was on the 12th of March, and I put it in my diary as the 12th of April.
Mm.
So my usual reminder that would say, by the way, you've got surgery tomorrow, didn't pop up. But that was awful. That was the worst thing I've ever forgotten.
I forgot. I've told this story a few years ago on Sexted. I forgot that I had Christopher Biggins coming round for dinner.
as so easy to forget. Yes. Christopher Biggins, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest.
And with an hour and a half to go, I had to phone him and tell him not to come.
Oh, that's me. Couldn't you?
He was just so lovely about it.
But couldn't you have just freestyled it?
No, because the flat was a tip. Yeah, I'd just come back from the gym. My husband wasn't there. Not that he was my husband at the time.
Put some chicken nuggets in the air fryer.
I didn't have an air fryer then.
A couple of bottles of wine, it'd be fine.
No.
So you cancelled him?
Yes. And he said Neil, his husband, oh, he's actually not been very well. So that he was just so well managed about it.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
So, in many ways, you're doing us a favour.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, lovely.
That's the way to do it. Beautifully managed. He should do my job, really. Anyway, away.
I forgot Christopher Biggins was going for dinner.
And it's because he had replied to my email and he had gone into junk. So, to be fair, it wasn't that I forgot.
And Christopher Biggins ended up in your junk box.
And I thought he was about to come down the back passage.
They keep coming.
Oh, dear.
Oh, how
anyway, Richard sort of goes into disaster mode and decides that he is going to cook Hyacinth for breakfast.
Yes. Trying to work out what he's going to tell her.
Yes. And luckily for Richard, the phone goes.
Yes.
And it's Emmett phoning because we've had a little scene at Liz's where Liz hears about there's been another burglary at number 23.
Yeah. Emmett can't wait to call Hyacinth because she'll be livid.
Who lives at number 23? Not named in this episode, but I've checked my notes.
Oh. Is it Delia Wheelwright?
No.
Is it Sonia Barker-Finch?
It is.
The Barker-Finches have been burgled again.
Yes. Of course, Hyacinth is... Of course she's going to be livid.
Yeah. She comes back into the kitchen as Richard arrives with this plate of burnt toast. It would appear that's his effort of making a cooked breakfast. And he's about to confess when Hyacinth appears into the kitchen and says that the burglary has taken place. And she's obviously looking very, very perturbed by the fact that there's been another burglary.
And that's when the light bulb goes above Richard's head.
Yeah.
And he says, right at the last minute, we're going to have a security system installed.
Because of all these burglaries, I've decided to have security installed for you.
And then she goes into that sort of state of ecstasy.
Richard!
Our own custom-made superior security installation for better class premises. As she walks around the house, making other sort of fun, exciting noises.
Yeah.
Have you ever... I mean, we've talked about what you do if a burglar actually did sort of come into your bedroom.
What, kill them?
Kill them.
Yes.
With your sort of piece of handy tool to the side.
Yeah.
But have you actually ever been burgled?
On holiday.
Yes. Yes, and I think you've told this story before on this podcast, but refresh for any new bucket heads. Refresh
on
memory.
It was horrible. So I was staying at my luxury villa in Frigoliana, went out for dinner, came back. As we pulled the car up into the driveway, there was this kind of strange movement outside the door, got out and went to the door of the villa. The villa door, which is a metal door, it's a very secure door. It was all buckled and bent, and the villa was ransacked, William. Absolutely ransacked. Everything was turned upside down. I can't tell you what I did, because I did something that still shocks me now. But you know the way you're never quite sure how you would react in a situation like this?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to go into details as to what I did, but I certainly didn't shy away.
Okay.
Let's put it like that.
And is that burglar still alive?
They are still alive, and thankfully I didn't find that burglar.
Okay.
Because my reaction was not to kind of run and hide. My reaction was to chase the burglar. And thankfully I didn't catch them, because otherwise I might not be sitting here having this conversation with you now.
No.
Okay?
We might be doing this between a cell.
Yeah. I won't go into details as to what I grabbed and what I was planning to do, but it's lucky I didn't catch him.
Was it a Spanish cleaning product?
No.
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 Okay.
Something a little sharper than that.
Right. And didn't they take your, like, deodorant?
They stole my pyjama bottoms and half a can of Shaw deodorant.
I vegetable to all that effort. And they take that.
They left my pyjama top, which is good.
Well, it's Spain, it's warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't need it.
So that night was strange.
It then, going back into our Hyacinth world.
Oh, yes.
Yes. We see a phone box and Richard is begging the alarm company to come round that day and obviously say absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
We then go into perhaps one of my favourite Liz and Hyacinth coffee scenes in the entire Keeping Up Appearances canon.
Yes. Hyacinth has invited Liz round to tell her all about the security system, the impending security system installation.
And she says the classic line, and we'll hear it now.
I want you to be the first to know, Elizabeth. I'm going to be alarmed.
And it's phenomenal. Liz drops her biscuit in the mug at the idea that Richard is going to alarm her for their wedding anniversary.
Yes, you've got to admire his spirit, she says. And the fact that he's getting a team of specialists in to do it for him absolutely thrills Hyacinth.
Yes.
Have you had installation of security in your property?
Yes, because not long after we moved into our current property with a large L-shaped room for entertaining, we had an attempted break-in.
Wow.
Middle of the night, in they trying to come in through what is now the study bedroom window. We could hear them trying to open it.
Yes, I remember.
It was, I think it was semi-lockdown. I think we'd only... No, I don't think it was. Maybe it was just before COVID.
Did you grab your Mary Poppins brolly?
No.
Ah.
No, I did not. I just lay there, stiff.
Terrified.
And Mikey was
stiff too. They would have run
too.
A mile.
Well, not if they were gay burglars. My parents...
Gay people don't burgle.
Actually, that is a point.
When have you ever met a gay burglar?
No, my parents had gay burglars because they took the flower trough. They didn't touch anything, but they took the lovely stone flower trough.
Right. Well, they must have been gay.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Miss Marple strikes again. Did you advise the police of that at the time?
No, because I was seven.
I've been giving this a lot of thought, Constable. I would suggest you look for two homosexuals running down the streets of Bristol with a flower trough. Anyway, so you were alarmed by a team of professionals.
Yes, we now have our own custom-made superior security installation for better class premises.
Of course. Do you have a panic button?
No.
Have you not?
No, but my parents growing up in the house that we grew up in, they had panic buttons.
Oh,
and
yes,
they would always slightly scare me.
I've got panic buttons.
And how does yours work? Because apparently, because I eventually asked my parents how theirs worked, you press it, and then hilariously, and I don't think this is how it should work, for them, the phone would go. Is this how yours works? I love the fact my parents had accepted this scheme that you're going to be burgled. You press the button and you go, I better get that. It's bound to be someone important. And the burglar's going to stop doing it. And then you had to say a code word.
Hello, is that Mrs. Hanson?
Can I just take your date of birth for data protection?
Right.
No, and you had to say, I'm going to make this up slightly. Oh. I don't think they have these now in the new house, but I'll slightly change it. You had to say, like, Monday, if everything was fine. Or Wednesday.
Wednesday. Wednesday. Your mother's there at gunpoint. Wednesday. Make it snappy. It's got me by my throat. Wednesday.
I just think that was the most ridiculous system. But God bless my parents.
No, mine is... it's called a hold-up alarm.
Okay.
Yes, it's the same as you'd have if you worked in a bookmaker or a bank.
Okay, yeah.
So when I press the button, when I press one of my array of buttons, that sends an emergency alert to Hertfordshire's finest trained armed police officers to attend my property within a matter of minutes.
And where is this button?
I can't tell you.
Okay. Is it somewhere...
And there may be multiple buttons.
I was going to say, because what happens if you're in a different location?
There's multiple. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to show me.
What, my buttons?
Yes. It's the most unprofessional episode we've ever done.
Yeah.
Oh, talking of the telephone... No one's pressed
Wednesday.
Oh, you know the drill. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back, Bucketheads. We've just about regained our composure. We're still discussing the third episode of the fifth series, Hyacinth is Alarmed. And we've got this lovely coffee scene going on between Liz and Hyacinth.
And you're listening to this on Wednesday.
Hopefully, if you're listening on day of release.
Hopefully, yes.
There is discussion of this setting the tone for the neighbourhood and that you're nobody these days without a burglar alarm. And I like the sort of the crestfallen look on Liz's face because clearly they're unsecured and she feels very belittled at this line. Mm. What noise does your alarm make? If that hold button was pressed.
Oh, gosh.
What noise do you hear?
So
anything?
I have internal sirens and I have external sirens and flashing strobe lights.
And does it sound like the QE2?
It doesn't sound like the QE2, no. No, it's kind of the inside alarm, the siren kind of goes like that. And then outside it's like a woo, 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 woo. And then flashing strobe lights.
With your meat mallet.
With my meat mallet.
Yes.
Swinging it around my head. Yes, it's kind of like that.
Marvellous.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's quite panic inducing. It's gone off in the dead of night before.
What's triggered it? A spider or something?
No, I left the kitchen door open and the dog came out.
Oh.
And she set it off. And that was a terrifying 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, panic. Got my metal bar.
You didn't club Poppy today.
No, I didn't, but I came down prepared with my metal bar. And the siren was so loud and I'm trying to type in the code. I couldn't remember the code because it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I was still a bit asleep. Yes, it's quite terrifying and yet reassuring.
Yes.
Because if you're a burglar and you were faced with that cacophony, you'd be terrified.
You would be. Yes.
Yeah. Imagine your mother arriving in a nightdress. Wednesday!
Oh, I must phone them and just check they still don't have that system before this episode goes out. God bless them.
Oh, dear.
I think it's sweet of Richard to want to secure me against intruders.
The vicar arrives at Onslow and Daisy's.
Yes, yeah. And Rose, I mean, she, you know, daddy's her poor daddy is feeling unwell, but that's not going to stop Rose from throwing herself at the vicar, talking about how lonely she is in the bedroom. Mm. But luckily, my sister Daisy takes charge.
Yes.
And whips the vicar up to the top floor. And the vicar himself is nervous about this, and he doesn't want to do it.
No. Wimpy vicar.
Yes.
I have to say, a bit wimpy. Jeremy.
Come on.
Yes, what's going on with you?
And he does this very sort of, be gone, I command you.
Yes.
To the door, and out comes...
An old lady.
Yes.
I presume you know who it is.
It's Margaret Towner.
Of course it is.
Yes. And actually, Keeping Up Appearances was her first acting credit.
Really?
This is the start of her career.
Bless her.
Yes, and she's gone on to appear in Derek with Ricky Gervais.
Oh, yes.
Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace as Jira.
Never seen it.
And Little Britain.
Oh.
Don't know what she was in that.
Right.
But she was in that.
Oh. She says that she was invited by Daddy at the over 60s.
Yeah. and off she scurries.
Off she goes, yeah.
And that seems to be the end of that storyline at this point.
It's a funny old storyline, but I guess it keeps them in it, doesn't
yes.
it, really?
Gives them all something to do.
Back at Hyacinth's house, Ian Lavender, better known for playing Pike.
Don't tell him Pike.
Don't tell him Pike in Dad's Army, another British sitcom. He has appeared at Hyacinth's house as her burglar alarm salesman. He appears at the front door and rings the doorbell. And as Hyacinth opens the door, he says, "Bucket!"
And the door is shut on his face.
Slammed in his face. Richard then opens it and informs Ian Lavender. Mm. We're not sure of his name in the episode.
No.
Burglar alarm man. Mm-hmm. But Richard informs him that it's pronounced bouquet. "Try again," he says, and then shuts the door again. They go through the whole rigmarole, rings the doorbell. Hyacinth opens the door, this time with a face like thunder. And when he says, "Mrs. Bouquet," her face then transforms into a wonderful smile.
And then he's made to take his shoes off on the doorstep.
Quite right, too.
And through the window at Liz's, Emmett is enjoying the fact that Hyacinth is making him remove the shoes. Mm. We then cut to a really lovely scene. Again, there are lots of lovely little scenes in this. Within the hallway, and Hyacinth is saying that she needs extra security for her lounge.
Yes.
Because it houses her Royal Doulton with the hand-painted periwinkles.
I like the way she kind of thrusts herself across the doorway.
Yes.
As if she's guarding it.
Indeed.
Just to show him how secure she needs this room to be.
Like it's the British Museum.
Mm.
And, of course, Hyacinth is... I mean, I am so like Hyacinth in this instance, in that all I really care about whenever we get something new, whether it's a car, an alarm, is the colour and the noise it may make, and maybe the tech. So if it's got, like when we got a car, it's like, I don't care what car, it just has to have CarPlay, the thing where you plug in your phone and it works.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Right.
But Hyacinth, her most important question, which has got nothing to do with security, is what colour is the box?
Mm. And he says, "Oh, it's blue, madam."
Which I think would look relatively smart, yes. Depending on the shade.
Yes, quite policey.
Yes, looks secure, but she wants a dusky pink.
Yeah.
And did you notice that Ian Lavender sort of pops his head into a room that we don't really see?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, opposite the lounge, as
Checking
she calls
it. Out it. To see if it needs a sensor.
Yes. And as we were watching this, I was watching this episode with Mikey, he went, after the dusky pink thing, he went, "Suddenly so much of our flat is making sense."
Yes, because you've got a dusky pink hallway.
We do. Mm. And I canvassed quite heavily for a dusky pink hallway.
Right. You do realise, though, that when she says, "Oh, I saw a stately home with a dusky pink box on the wall," it reminded me, because I don't think it would have been dusky pink originally. Back in the 80s, burglar alarm boxes were quite big.
Yes.
I know, because my parents had one. Mm. And it was bright red to start with.
Oh.
But the sun faded it.
Yep.
And by the 90s, it was indeed a dusky pink. So I wonder whether actually she'd seen a bright red alarm box that had faded in the sun. So by having a dusky pink fitted in the 90s, by the 2000s it was probably white.
Yes. Well,
silly,
there we
Hyacinth.
Go. Silly Hyacinth. And not only what colour is the box, what noise does he make?
Yes, she wants the alarm to sound like the QE2.
Which is nice.
Mm.
It's a bold sound. I can see why that would scare people, because you'd also panic that you were suddenly transported to sea.
Yes. We will get to Hyacinth's actual alarm, which is very impressive. I do actually like the sound of it, because there's a combination of QE2 and bells. But
yes,
we'll get to that later. Ian Lavender at that point escapes in his blue.
Oh.
What is it?
It's a car.
You must have noticed.
No,
what it
was. I didn't. I don't look at the cars like you do.
Oh, William, it was a blue Ford Mondeo.
Okay.
Yes. He escaped. He hasn't even got time to put his shoes on. He just kind of throws them in the car.
And as we know, he had... He adopts the Nigerian driving approach, because, to quote Hyacinth, in Nigeria they don't wear shoes to drive. So there we go.
We're not sure whether, if any of our bucket heads are based in Nigeria, if you could just confirm, is this idea that Hyacinth has, is it correct or not?
Yes.
We'd like to know.
I suspect not, because bless her, I don't think she's very well travelled.
No.
No.
I doubt she's been to Nigeria.
No.
Yes, everybody else was looking at the Rembrandts. But I remember thinking then, yes, that's very nice. If I ever have an alarm, I'll want it to be dusky pink.
Hyacinth and Richard are in bed. Hyacinth is struggling to sleep.
Because it's their last night unsecured.
Yeah.
Their last night without an alarm.
Yeah. And I remember how that felt. When I moved into my new house, before I'd had my security installed, I remember the sleepless nights. The sleepless nights waiting for the team to come round and to secure me against intruders.
And she's very worried about the Capodimonte figurines.
Yes, that's right.
And I looked that up because I thought, oh, what are Capodimonte? And it's all those sort of weird sort of porcelain.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have them.
No. XL alarms.
Yes.
Are in the driveway.
They've fitted the alarm by this point and they are leaving.
And did you notice we get our first glimpse of the dusky pink box?
Yes, it's been installed. Now, moment here. I looked up the actors because that's what I do.
I was waiting for it.
And at the time, the two actors were Graham Root and Ben De Winter. And actually, Graham Root, which as you look at Wayne Elm, he is the engineer on the right.
Is he the one with the deeper voice?
Yes, I think. Right. Is now Rachel Root.
Oh.
Yes.
Right.
And sort of there was a period where he and now she stopped acting. Went through gender reassignment and is now Rachel Root and was in The Danish Girl with Eddie Redmayne.
Well, I never.
And many other things.
Hyacinth then appears from the front door and thanks the two men for not damaging her walls too badly.
Much. And do they have the telephone number for the stately home that had the dusky pink box so she can tell them that they're secured in the same way?
Yes. Richard is familiarising himself with the control panel and he asks which four-number code Hyacinth has chosen, and she says, a romantic one. A code that he'll never forget, and she'll certainly never forget. It's the four-number date of their wedding.
What are your four-number codes? List them all now.
I will not be telling you my code. But Victor Meldrew's phone number was 4291.
Oh, is that your code?
No. Don't be silly. As if I'd admit my burglar alarm code on this podcast.
Or your PIN number.
It is not 4291.
No. There's a talk of an alarm warming party.
Yes. Yes, she wants to have an alarm warming party.
Which is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that lovely moment we alluded to earlier with the meat mallet.
Yes.
Swinging it round.
She's banging her steaks. I'm rather unimpressed at this because she's planning on cooking her steaks under the grill. And I think that's a horrible way to cook steak. My late mother used to cook steak under the grill and it would always curl up at the edges.
Oh.
A little bit rubbery.
Yes.
But Hyacinth is about to put the steaks under the grill and she's got the meat mallet. And that's very crucial. Because she wonders, she's talking to Richard, and she wonders whether it would be a good idea to phone number 23 and to tell them that if they're being burgled in future, they could call Hyacinth and she'll sound her alarm. Woo, woo, woo!
It's great. It's a lovely moment. And actually, it's a meme on TikTok that has recently been doing the rounds as well. It reminds me of when there were the Manchester riots and I lived in Manchester, and there is a photograph of me on my balcony with my meat mallet.
Really?
Yes. I was 17 floors up. I don't think they were coming near me at all. But I did.
You sounded the alarm with your meat mallet.
I did, taking inspiration, as ever, from Hyacinth.
Well done, you. A rare moment. Emmett has actually called at Hyacinth and Richard's front door on purpose. Because he's come to call for Richard, because he's taking Richard out for a drink.
Mm.
Which I think is rather nice.
It's nice. It's good. And as they go, a bald-headed man goes past. And Hyacinth sort of rather stereotypically and judgmentally, clearly sort of jumps.
Yeah. After she's gone, bye! Oh!
And assumes he's obviously a burglar. And then as she tells him, as he walks off, she shouts down the road, please tell your friends, which I think is so patronising. Mm. Just because he's bold doesn't mean to say he's a felon.
You will tread carefully as you pass my home, won't you? I've recently installed a very sensitive and expensive alarm system, and I'd hate you to be startled if it should go off, she says.
It's lovely. Mm. And I picked this up. I hope you're proud of me in this. Cut to the pub scene. Richard and Emmett are drinking halves.
They are drinking halves.
And you've told me before you don't drink halves.
You don't drink halves.
Unless you're driving.
Or if you're an elderly lady.
Mm.
Because even young women drink pints now. They don't drink a half.
No.
And men drinking a half, I think, looks very silly.
Yes.
Call me old-fashioned, but it does.
We cut then to the final scene. It's the hall at night. Richard comes home.
He's obviously a bit tipsy.
From those halves. Mm. And he sets off the alarm.
Yes.
He forgets the code. He has a guess at their anniversary.
Gets it wrong, clearly.
There's a little silence as he thinks he's got away with it.
Yes.
And then it's a really phenomenal payoff what is a phenomenal episode.
You have the horn of the QE2 that is going, and lovely bells outside. That's quite old-fashioned. Burglar alarms don't generally have bells now outside, which is a shame.
Bring it back.
Yes, but they were too loud for the decibel limit that is now on burglar alarm systems.
Oh, right.
So now you have a siren instead. Also,
could you be burgled but quietly?
Sometimes the hammer on the bell used to seize up because of the weather.
Oh.
So they found a siren is actually better.
Yes.
Really.
Okay.
More long-lasting. But it's a wonderful combination. The QE2 horn, the bell outside. There's also, if you notice, there's a blue flashing strobe light. You know, it really would be terrifying if you were a burglar.
Yes.
And Hyacinth appears in her night attire and sobbing says, "Richard Bouquet, you've forgotten the date of our wedding." Cue the end credits.
It's just such a lovely episode.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so many people remember this episode.
Mm.
Do you remember when Hyacinth Bouquet had her burglar alarm installed? It's so memorable.
Yeah, it's a really nice one.
We love it. Now, if you want to keep up with the Bouquets, you can listen to William and me chatting through every episode of Series 1, 2, 3 and 4. Now, you should know by now, for the fifth and final series, we have a second weekly serving of the luxury podcast with genuine bonus embellishments.
We'll be back tomorrow with the third episode of our bonus release, where we will take a look at the 1995 Children in Need special, which, until recently, had been lost.
For now, cheerio!
Goodbye!
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.